College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
So the Jets are moving on from Aaron Rodgers, apparently?
Boy, that didn't last long.
Boy.
Tell you what, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, though, I'm not upset about the fact that I just made tens of millions of dollars over the last 2 years and did nothing.
Right. Well, didn't even play last year, except four downs.
That's right. What? Blew out that Achilles.
Didn't even make it to the fourth down, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so the Jets are moving on from Aaron Rodgers. Okay. You guys want to talk about that game last night?
Yeah. Let's break it down.
Nope. No, I do not. Not even a little bit.
Negative.
Researchers at the University of Western Australia found practices put in place to reduce employees presenting to work sick were more likely to be observed by women than they were by men. Men are more likely to go to work sick than women are, is basically what we're getting at here.
Really?
Mm-hmm. The study examined...
That's so shocking to me. Because really? Men, to me...
The man flu.
Go to work and just whine about it to everybody.
Yeah.
We're still there.
Women are like, if I'm sick, I'm going to be sick. Scott's like, no, I'm going to make everyone else miserable around me.
I am martyring
that,
myself.
I don't have to be sick for that.
I'm a martyr, and I want you to know about it and support me.
I can't remember the last time I phoned in sick.
Okay, please don't say that out loud. Do not speak that into the universe. Because I feel like the second you say that, you know what I'm saying? Like, flu B is, my son has flu B. And there's some pneumonia going, there's a lot of stuff going around. So
I've never called in sick.
Ever?
Never.
Good for you, Sam.
You're still young, though.
It's been a long time since you and I don't even want to say it. I'm not even going to say it.
No, I mean, I stayed home sick in high school quite a few times.
Totally different.
I was never
Were you
sick.
Really sick?
Yeah,
totally different.
I was
different.
Never actually sick.
Totally different.
Didn't
different.
Want to go to school that day. Kids don't do that. That's bad.
Okay.
It's not often, but I've called in sick because I've been... Sick.
I can't remember the last time I was sick. Like, really sick. You know, not just a little cold or something.
I think I was so scarred, honestly, from the one boss I had so many years ago that was so psychotically crazy about sick time that just stuck with me.
Is and there now, anything like, redeemable about him?
No.
I'm not going to say not. His name on the
Looking
air.
Back, there was not. At the age that I was, all those things, there was not. I mean, I've told this story before where I had a positive strep test. And I was crying, and I said to the doctor, I need you to write down that I have strep throat. And he said, well, I can't do that. That's not like that's your information. And I go, you do not work for this man. I need proof. Yeah. Like, how crazy is that? If I called you and said, I've got strep throat, okay, I'll see you in 3 days when you're no longer contagious. Sure.
If you don't trust your employees enough for them to tell you, I'm not feeling well, I don't want to come in and get everybody else, you know, infected. I'm going to say, if you don't trust them enough to take their word for it, why do you have them as an employee?
I told you, we used to have a policy where if you didn't call in sick all year, not one time, you would get like an extra pay period at the end of the year, which
only encourages people to come in sick.
It sounded great like initially, but then when you think about it, there would be people coming in on their deathbed, especially in like November and December.
Oh, yeah.
Like you're getting toward the end of that calendar and you haven't had any, you've never gotten sick.
You're not taking
or
that
if you've gotten sick, it's been on a weekend or it's been on vacation. Like people would come in with all kinds of transferable, communicable things to try to get to December 31st to get that extra pay period.
Well, but you know, when you keep hours in a weird profession like media, you know, you and I don't have weird hours, but when I was working the morning show for the morning news here on KMBZ back in the late 90s, early 2000s, if I was truly sick, and there was one time I can still remember where I was truly sick, it was almost impossible to find somebody who could take my shift on short notice.
Right.
Because it was 3 a.m. to noon.
Right. Good luck with that.
Was the shift. And so I remember one morning waking up and I was just, ugh. Awful. Felt terrible. Drove into work, produced the morning show. I was literally puking into a trash can next to my desk.
You should not be to work when
spreading your germs everywhere.
Oh
probably.
Oh, my gosh.
But definitely. I mean, the news doesn't write itself. Somebody had to come in.
Now, I did take a whole week of sick days during COVID, but I didn't want to take those sick days. In fact, I wanted to work and was told, you're staying home.
You cannot work with the vid.
Because you had COVID.
Well, because I had to get a negative test, and you guys remember how it was. Mm-hmm. You book a test, and it's like, yeah, we can get you in 4 days. Right. Like, that doesn't help me get back to work tomorrow.
Right.
God, COVID.
Yeah.
By the way, does anybody ever get that anymore?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember the last time somebody said, I've got COVID.
It is endemic. It is now just part of
part of what is out there.
I have a family member who, you know, has other illnesses that pop up, and every time they go to the doctor, they test for COVID. They test positive for COVID every single time and have for 4 years.
And never probably show symptoms.
Yeah.
Of all the things, like if you made a list of things I don't ever want to think about or talk about anymore, COVID is on the list. What happened this weekend is on that list.
Yep.
Like I think we just move on and we don't talk about it.
Okay. It's a hell of a game.
Gets GA going slower.
Seriously.
You know, we've only got a few more months and then the season starts up.
I want to talk about that every day, Sam.
Yeah, you do.
Iverzing gets GA going slower.
7 months until preseason.
47 days until baseball starts.
Opening day.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Help me understand this next story because I do not. Oh, my gosh. Bless her heart. A Florida racing family is in mourning after their 7-year-old daughter died following a crash at the Orlando Speed World Dragway. I don't know what that is, but picture, like, I'm guessing the Speedway.
I'm like, sure it's a lot smaller.
This is the Orlando Speed World Dragway. Again, sweet little Elise Rodriguez was 7 when she was critically injured in a crash on the track Tuesday night.
Think more so the old drag strip that was out in Raytown.
The
off
straightaways. The straightaway drag
strip. It's a full-on regular drag strip.
The crash happened during a junior dragster race held as part of Funday Sunday, a day of racing at the private racetrack sanctioned by the National Hot Rod Association. Mm-hmm. The Orange County Sheriff's Office has called in the Florida Highway Patrol to investigate. The child was racing when she lost control of her dragster. Look this up for me, Scott. I don't know what that is.
That's one of those long, skinny cars.
And struck a person working on the track and then a concrete wall. The worker is going to be okay, but she struck a worker first, then a concrete wall. In an official statement, track management says, "We are deeply heartbroken by the tragic incident that took place Sunday."
It's one of those long, skinny.
Okay. Elise was in first grade.
She was 7, yeah.
Help me understand why 7-year-olds in first grade are racing cars or flying airplanes. We had that child infamously crash and sadly pass away several years ago. Like,
we let little kids play football.
Okay, but we don't let little kids drive cars.
No, but this isn't really driving. And this is...
That is a race car. You just showed me a race car.
A dragster, yeah. But they're usually stopped by deploying... You're not pushing... I don't know. I've never driven one, but usually a parachute comes out the back of the car and it brings the car to a stop once they've gone a certain distance.
Okay, but again...
And it's a very quick race, like 5 seconds.
If you had said to me this was a 16-year-old or a 15-year-old, I still would have said, it seems a little young to be drag racing on a private track, but okay. 7?
And I think 7 is probably too young, but you've got to also remember that she comes from a racing family.
Well,
so for them, this is normal.
Yeah, this is an entire sport. I mean, it's just like junior league football. This is junior league drag racing.
Oh, I see an enormous difference between those two things.
People who drag race for a living.
Probably don't. That's exactly right.
Okay, but like if you talk about the Speedway here, would they let a 7-year-old drag race around that track? You know the answer is no.
Probably not.
Because it wouldn't make sense to do that.
But I'm sure that this was not the standard sized dragster. Because it says she was a junior dragster. So I'm assuming because she's the height of a 7-year-old girl.
How would you even reach the pedals?
You're not putting them in a standard. I bet they don't use pedals. I bet they're all buttons.
They're also custom built.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they put kids in modified go-karts, essentially. The sprint cars, those are essentially souped-up go-karts, and they put them on dirt racetracks and race them all the time.
Telephone number here is 913-586-7798. Aaron, Becky, and the others, hang tight. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. All right, it's a horribly sad story. A seven-year-old girl from a racing family down in, I believe it was Florida, if I'm not mistaken. Where did I put that story? Dang it.
While you're looking, you know, People Magazine has picked this up. This is all over the place. According to The Independent, junior dragsters, which is what she was driving at the time, can reach up to 85 miles an hour. And I'm just asking, pardon my ignorance, I did not realize seven-year-olds could drive cars. If you said, Scott, we're going to let a seven-year-old get behind the wheel of a car and go 85 miles an hour, you would say you're crazy.
I wouldn't do it, no. But, I mean, the real dragsters go a lot faster than 85. I think I saw something north of 250 miles.
But is a seven-year-old going to control a vehicle going 85 miles an hour? And we know the answer here is she cannot.
913-586-7798. Go ahead.
The full size dragsters top out at 340.
340 miles an hour.
But it doesn't make it any better that a 7-year-old's driving 85.
Aaron on line one. Hello.
7-year-olds don't drive 85 miles an hour. There are different classes in this. They're 5-horse Briggs & Strattons. They're souped up lawnmower motors. So you, at different ranges, can go so many seconds over an 8th mile. So basically think of your track stars. Little kids don't run as fast as adults. So they can only go so fast. And they're restricted. They're in safety helmets. When was the last time you heard of a 7-year-old dying in a dragster accident?
I had never heard, but Aaron, I've never heard of a 7-year-old driving anything, period. So
okay. Well, they ride motorcycles and ride horses and whatnot. Do you know what's more dangerous than driving a junior dragster? Riding a horse. You're probably 100 times more likely to die from riding a horse than you are in a junior dragster.
It's a fair point. That is a fair point. We let them get on top of 1,000-pound animals.
We have talked about this before where I have these photos of baby Dana when she's 3, 4, and my grandpa had this little red tractor called a wheel horse. Just a normal, small, riding lawnmower without the blade. And they used to let me ride around on that thing, or they would pull me in a wagon behind it. You know, there's a photo of me about age 7 pulling my brother on that little tractor behind me. And we joke about it today. I'm like, can you believe that? Would we let any of the, I mean, can you imagine doing that today? We used to do all kinds of crazy things.
We used to ride around on our bicycles without helmets on.
We did all those things.
That was my favorite activity as a kid, was getting to ride the riding lawnmower. I wasn't even strong enough to push the brake.
Oh, I couldn't reach the brake. Do you remember, Sam? It's a long metal, on those old ones, on the left side, it was a long metal cylinder-shaped thing. Not the way the brakes are shaped today. And you would have to push that all the way in, change the gear you were in.
Oh, and that thing was tough to push.
I grew up riding that thing.
Was it dangerous?
If it had tipped, I'd be dead. Of course it was. It's probably not something you see a lot of today for a 4-year-old. This was on a farm.
I mean, we buy kids nowadays. Maya had one years ago. These little itty-bitty one-seat cars. And where do the kids drive those things?
On the cul-de-sac street.
Or on the sidewalk, right next to the road.
Yeah, that's still not.
I mean,
a 7-year-old on a racetrack. It would not be for me. I'm just saying, just from a liability standpoint, period. Mm-hmm. I did not know this was a thing where a racetrack would say, bring all the kids in, let's do this thing.
Well, I'm sure the parents had to basically sign away the rights to any sort of lawsuit. You're not, if I own a speedway or a racetrack, I'm not letting anybody get behind the wheel of any of those dragsters without them signing away literally the right to sue me. There's just no way.
Well, there's a reason the 50cc dirt bike is only 1.5 feet tall. It's not built for me.
Yeah, I suppose.
913-586-7798. Becky on line two. Becky, hello.
Hello, how are you guys?
We're doing well, thank you.
Good. Hey, I agree with Aaron. These children that are 7 years old, they don't run 85 miles an hour. My husband has built multiple of these in his lifetime. And a seven-year-old might go 30, 40 miles an hour down those tracks, but they are custom built. They're made for those children, and they have brackets that for the kids, depending upon their age and how fast they can go. Mm-hmm. And they, I will tell you, this is a tragedy, this young woman or this young lady getting killed, but it is something that you never hear of. These cars are built so well and so strong and so safe that this was a freak accident that this child was killed. But they have them out at the new drag strip. They have programs, especially for the junior dragsters. You go up into Iowa and you get hundreds of these children up there racing in these national events. And they're sanctioned by the NHRA and a lot of the local programs. So it's not uncommon to see these kids run them. And like Aaron was saying, is that no different than riding the bull. You know, you get these young kids that ride bulls or that ride motorcycles at a young age. It's no different.
Mm-hmm. Mutton busting, I've seen that.
The youngest.
She's right.
I just looked up junior dragster classes.
Mm-hmm.
The youngest is five. They're called trainees. And I don't know what I'm reading here, but it says with a time limit of 20 seconds or slower. Youth is ages 6 and 7. Novice is 8 and 9. Intermediate is 10 to 12. Advanced is 13 to 18.
Okay.
Debbie in Lee's Summit. Debbie, good afternoon. Hi.
Hi. How are you guys today?
We're doing well. Thank you for asking.
Dana, I totally get why you would be concerned. However, we have junior rodeos. Mm. We have seven-year-olds riding equestrian jump horses.
Yeah, you're right.
And I grew up around horses, and to be real honest with you, they're highly unpredictable. I'd rather drive a car at 85 or 90 miles an hour than to walk into a stall and try to get a horse that's decided to back up and kick me in the head.
I will tell you this, Debbie. I have been on two horses in my entire life, and I have been thrown off two horses in my entire life. And I will never... You could come up to me and say, I will give you $1 billion to go get on that horse. And my answer will be the same every single time. They don't like me. I don't like, they can feel mm-hmm. like I'm like, uh-huh. I just,
you think they feel the fear?
They feel the fear where I'm like, mm-hmm. Huh. Not going to throw me off.
Last.
Yeah, right.
That's right.
What y'all said the first two times and then Dana bit it.
Maggie in Bonner Springs, you get the last word on this. Hello, Maggie.
Hi, guys. I know that, like most cities have ordinances, like in Tonganoxie, when we live there, if you're 10 or younger, you can't drive a motorized vehicle on the streets if it goes over 49 miles per hour, like a go-kart.
Yeah.
Because it's against the law, you know, it's just, oh, and Dana, if horses are afraid of you, does that mean you're a witch? I mean, not in a bad way, but I watched a movie one time where horses are afraid of witches.
I think they can sense, like all animals, they can smell yes. fear. And because I have been thrown off twice, I marvel at their beauty. Like,
oh,
I think they're one of the most majestic,
stunning,
beautiful animals on the planet mm-hmm. that I will admire from about 50 feet.
913-586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. So, one of the great things about Facebook, and there aren't many, is when they do the Waste Management Open golf tournament, and then everybody starts posting the drunk morons who ended up showing up.
Yeah.
Let me just watch this one.
Oh,
this
guy's
in black shorts,
floral
shirt, and he's trying
there
to make his way.
There he goes
rim.
Down.
And then he
there
goes to the left.
Goes.
And let's go up some steps while we're here.
Yep. Nope.
And then let's eat dirt.
Yep. That tournament.
A lot of those videos. A lot of those videos today.
There wasn't much to watch at the end. If you that tournament wrapped right before the Super Bowl started, and the winner had a 5-shot lead, so it was over. So everyone that was like looking forward to the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. present company included, we were like, okay, let's go. Like that wasn't Waste Management Open is done. Let's
Let's get some exciting.
Let's get something exciting on TV. Tight.
And then the Super Bowl looked the same way.
Yeah.
Five-shot lead halfway through.
That's it. Yep, we're good.
So last week we mentioned that there was talk in Washington about getting rid of the penny. Because while it's only worth 1 cent, it costs 3 cents to make each penny. Somewhere to the tune of $85 million a year are spent making pennies for about $30 million worth of pennies. The president today, and we don't get into politics, but he was the one who initiated it.
Well, the idea has been kicked around for a very long time. Like, why do we have the penny?
So the president today says he has directed the Treasury Department to stop minting new pennies, effective immediately, citing the rising cost of producing the 1 cent coin. Quoting here from the president on his social media, "For far too long, the United States has minted pennies, which literally cost us more than 2 cents. This is wasteful. I have instructed my secretary of the U.S. Treasury to stop producing new pennies." The U.S. Mint reported losing $85 million in the last fiscal year that ended in September on the nearly 3.2 billion pennies it produced.
Mm-hmm. It's also the most used coin and the most discarded coin.
It's the most used and the most discarded. Okay, yep. But ask yourself this. Who cares if it goes away? Name who is going to. To me, the answer is no one, but I'm sure there's somebody out there that is going to mourn the loss of the penny.
If you're only rounding up to the nearest five, I'm going to care over time because that'll add up.
Well, but see,
but if you're rounding appropriately and say it's 2 cents and you round down to zero, or if it's 3 cents, you round up to five.
But see, I think there's going to be a difference if you pay in cash or if you pay with card. So, for example, you go to the grocery store, okay? And you ring up all your items, and it comes out to $32.18. You pay with your card, you're going to pay $32.18. If you say, well, I'm going to pay with cash, then you pay $32.20.
But it's not going to matter because most people pay with a card. So
more often than not.
Let's say I go to buy, I don't know, a gallon of orange juice, and it's $96.03.
Accurate.
And I swipe my card, they're still going to get the 3 cents. I'm just not going to physically be digging around for change. You know me, I don't carry change anyway. In fact, I tried to feed a meter over the weekend. Good luck with that. Thanks a lot, Downtown Lawrence.
And they're vipers.
I know. I tried the app.
Better feed that meter.
That's a long story. But who is going to mourn the loss of the penny? I'm being honest.
I won't.
The give a penny, take a penny people, that tray goes away.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, or becomes a give a nickel, take a nickel.
Now
I'm not going to mourn it.
Keep in mind, it's going to take a decade, 2 decades, I don't know, maybe 3 decades. There are currently a quarter trillion pennies in circulation.
That's
a
just
quarter
under my,
trillion?
That's
a
just
quarter
under my trillion. Couch.
Would you ever bend over to pick up a penny?
No.
Me neither.
Oh, I've done it many times. I did it
for
yesterday.
For a penny?
Yeah. If it's heads up, I'll take it. If it's heads down, I leave it.
What's the lowest denomination you'll bend over to pick up?
I would not bend over to pick up change on the street.
Quarter?
No.
Oh, I'm bending over for a quarter. Why won't you take it off the street? I mean, think about all the people's hands and pockets it's been in.
Yeah,
anyway.
I know.
The street might be cleaner.
If it was like a $20 bill, I'd probably grab it, look around, say, did anyone lose a 20?
No, you wouldn't.
No, don't do that. I've done that before, and like 8 people were like, yeah, I just dropped some money. Guess who didn't leave with that money that day?
You?
Me.
How did you pick which liar to give the $20 to? They were all lying.
I was dumb.
First come, first serve.
Oh, honey.
My wisdom now, I would have just put it in my pocket and walked away.
That's right.
You still do the courtesy look over your shoulder.
Well, if I see somebody drop it, obviously I'm like, hey, you dropped some money. But no, I mean, I was, it was actually raining and I noticed something in the curb.
Oh.
And I walked up to it and I grabbed it and it was $100 and I put it in my pocket and walked away.
By the way, this would not be the first time that the United States has eliminated a currency value from its money.
The $2 bill?
Nope.
The $3?
No. Much lower. The half cent coin.
Wow.
Was discontinued by Congress in 1857.
Was that ever really useful?
Probably back then when the dollar would buy a lot more. Yeah. Buy a penny.
Can I ask you something else? If we're going to get rid of the penny, because we're all into saving money that doesn't make sense, why don't we get rid of the nickel? it costs more. If you look this up, the nickel is worse than the penny.
Oh, I agree.
That's true.
Then we're just getting rid of an entire decimal place.
And now you're really rounding up.
Or down.
What business is going to round down? What business is going to round down?
Well, I think if it's 01 and you're paying in cash, they should round down.
Well, I would need a penny.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's going to be a few years before they are obsolete.
Oh, you mean if it was like $3.01?
Yeah, round that down.
Okay, you just said 0.01. I'm like, what, are they going to give it to me for free?
No, just round down.
913-586-7798. No business is going to round down. I promise you that. There is no way.
Do you know what the pennies are good for? Every once in a while when you go on vacation to like a cool place, they've got those
like
penny
Disney
flattener machines where you put the penny and then crank, and then it gives you, like, when I was growing up, it was SeaWorld. It was Marine World in Biloxi. And I have somewhere, I've got some of those pennies that are all flattened from that penny flattened machine.
They almost look like a football when they come out, right? The shape of a football.
That is what pennies are good for. Oh, give me a break.
Technically illegal.
Well, but they have these little things, you know, at places where kids go, like Power Play, or they'll have the machine and you put a penny in and then you get, it flattens it and makes it look like a football. 913-586-7798. It's not like pennies are not going to still be around. They will be. But the production of the penny has been discontinued as of today by an order from the president. Goodbye, penny. 913-586-7798. Jonathan in Olathe. Jonathan, hello.
Hello, how are you?
We're doing well, thank you.
I think the bigger issue is years ago, probably about 15 to 20 years ago, they were trying to encourage people who were hoarding pennies to turn them in. And that's the bigger problem, because pennies, they're not paper currency, so they will last a very, very long time. So they already have plenty of pennies that we would ever need, that anybody would ever need, already in circulation. The problem is all the people who are hoarding and just won't give them up.
Wait, why would one hoard a penny, Jonathan?
I don't know him personally.
Okay, but help me understand. Why would someone do that?
Not a friend of mine, I should say. But he has one of those very large water jugs. He has one completely full of nothing but pennies, and another one about three quarters of full, mother of pennies, but nothing but pennies, and he wouldn't turn them in, even though one of the states was offering 10% if you were to turn your pennies in. So in other words, if you turn in a dollar's worth of pennies, they would give you $1.10. But then that would just encourage them to say, oh, I'm going to hold on to them until they go up.
Why is anyone hoarding pennies? Help me. I can understand starting today if you think somehow they're going to be worth something someday.
So, for example, and he brings up an interesting point. You know, he's talking about the big water, the plastic water coolers.
Yeah, the Colligan man.
So
hey, Colligan man.
We have an old glass jar that has a little cork at the top, and it sits in the garage. And I think I've told you this. You know, if you come home with some change in the car, instead of just letting it sit there in the cup holder, you put it in this little jug, and it's probably about this big. Okay, and I took it almost full to the bank one day, and it's got quarters in it, dimes, nickels, and pennies. That's just a house with two people in it. We have hundreds of pennies in there. I went into the bank and poured it into that machine, $275.
Oh, sure. Listen to this. It is illegal to melt pennies. Some hoarders believe the U.S. government might stop producing pennies, which it looks like is going to come to fruition.
Correct.
Allowing them to legally melt down their copper pennies for profit. However, it is currently illegal to melt them in the United States to extract the copper. Are they going to have people walk them over to the mint and turn them in, or are we going to let people melt them down?
You're going to probably take them to the bank and get bills for it.
Well, there's only trace amounts of copper in there in the first
place. Yeah, just like with nickels, they're not made out of nickel.
And the caller had a great point with the credit card fees that continue to go up. They'll probably will round down if you pay cash, because you're now saving them.
That's a fair point.
$2.
That's actually a fair point. If you pay in cash,
yeah,
we'll round down for you, because then we don't have to pay the, what is it, $2.50, $3.
It's not cheap
for a credit card charge.
4%.
Pennies produced starting in 1983 are made mostly from zinc. Mm-hmm. So if you are hoarding pennies, you need to look at the dates. If you want a penny that is 95% copper, you need to look for dated 1982 or older coins.
And there's also, last time we talked about this a couple, 3 weeks ago, there was a guy who called in who says he makes a lot of money looking for pennies that have some sort of
a misprint.
Or they're disfigured or whatever. And for whatever reason, and I've never been able to figure it out, those pennies, because they got one little misprint on it, are worth something to somebody else.
They're rare. From the text line, I'm one of those hoarders. I have probably 80 to 100 buckets.
Take it to a bank. Cash it in.
Go on vacation with
that.
Too
lazy to take them to the bank.
What do you mean you're too lazy?
I'm just reading.
I'll tell you that at that point, you're going to have a forklift. Right?
Yes. I used to, when I was living in Rome, I threw it away once we moved to Western Shawnee. I had a water cooler in Maya's closet that I would just bring home all my spare change. You get about halfway up that water cooler, it is almost impossible to lift. It is that heavy. 913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Oh, I'm bending over for a quarter. Seriously? the great Michael Fronte.
He's going to have to write a new song.
I know.
Is it worth a nickel to you?
Mm-hmm. I was just talking to his former guitarist, Jay Bowman, this morning. He just called out of nowhere to make sure that I wasn't jumping out of a window at my house after the Super Bowl last night.
How's he doing?
He's doing great. Oh, by the way, he's gotten out of the, working for an artist. He's now, I hope I'm not speaking too out of school for him, he records music for scenes in Paramount Plus TV shows. Like he was working on Yellowstone not too long ago. And so if, I don't know if it's always him or not, but if there is some bedded music while they're, on a horse out in the middle of nowhere on their ranch, it could be Jay Bowman who's playing, if it's on guitar, it could be him playing that music.
Cool.
Yeah, he's doing great. Let's wrap it up with Joseph in Lee Summit. Joseph, hello.
Hello, good evening. I'm actually kind of excited about the penny not being printed anymore, because that means the value of my unopened box of rolls of pennies of $50 is now increased in value. And I got that box from the bank. I had a little bit of a free time on my hands. I picked up the hobby of coin collecting and looking for error coins and rare coins because they'll be worth multiples of what the denomination actually is. And I quickly stopped doing that. I bought a vending machine business, and I did two machines. I sifted through the quarters and the coins for two machines. I said, this is a whole other full-time job. I can't do this anymore. But the value of those coins will go up. You just got to hold on to them until the government says we no longer have pennies in the economy.
Well, but wouldn't that, Joseph, take forever, though? I mean, Sam was saying there are trillions of pennies currently in circulation.
Yes, but so similar to, I think it was like the Double Eagle and some of the almost pure coins before, the mint will collect them and they will melt them down to get them out of production.
Got it.
So then all those people hoarding will come out and say, oh, I've got some of these.
Okay. All right, partner. Have a great night. Be safe.
Before, he's been practicing that.
Yeah. Grocery stores like Trader Joe's, Costco, now limiting the number of eggs that you can buy when you go into their store.
You can't just go get as many eggs as you want for $436.
No.
Limit two.
Not right now. That's right. And they're pretty cheap, aren't they, at Aldi or wherever you go?
I go to Aldi. They actually dropped $4.67.
Let me know. Operation Stormwatch is likely on Wednesday. We had an opportunity to speak with Brian Busby earlier today at 3:15. If you want to go back on the podcast, the snow is going to start falling late tomorrow night and then be pretty heavy. Brian indicated come Wednesday morning, and he's predicting anywhere between 5 and 8 inches of snow, powdery snow, by late Wednesday afternoon.
The city says it's already pre-treating in advance of what is expected to come. Check your flights. If you think you are flying anywhere on Wednesday, because when we check today, the airlines are already under a Kansas City travel advisory. And in some cases, if you need to move or change flights, they have to waive all the fees because of the new Traveler's Bill of Rights.
That's right.
Yes.
That is correct.
Cashed in on that little sucker today.
We got to run.
I know my rights.
I know my rights. Come and get me. Bonus hours next. On behalf of our producer today, the finest man in these United States, the great Sam Stevie III, my good friend and co-host Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks, and God willing, back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a great night. Be safe, be well, and be good to one another. Good night. Take care.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.